Again.
Okay, I'm just going to move right on into where we need to go. We'll see how fast we can get, I mean, how much we can get done in the time. It's obvious that when I wrote these, it wasn't intended to be covered completely, but it's impossible. And some of this material, I mean, like I've already said, we've spent hours and hours and hours on some of these things. But what I'm trying to do is help those who haven't been exposed to these passive voices know where to go, give you information. I've done the work on some of these. So you've got things that are done, and you'll notice there are some things in these notes that will help. I always look at some of the notes that we hand out, and I say we, I mean the guys, and there is material there that will provide series for years if you were to dig them out the way they could be dug. And so that's this kind of material, and as we have it. My subject this hour is the passive voice in the next 2 hours in the New Testament, in New Testament filling as an illustration of the importance of the passive voice. And so it's simply an illustration of the passive. And so we are going to be looking at the words for fill. As we came to this, because of some of the things that I had going on, and I was really led to go the direction we have, and that is going to filling is material that we have done, or we are tying off at Valley, in that matter, with notes. Now, what I did last Sunday was deal with one of the next papers later in the day, which involves these prohibitive passes, imperatives. But this idea of fill is important, and because it is so important, I think it's of value. Now, I want to say this, and that is filling is not just the filling of the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. There's more passive fillings than that, and that's why this is so much fun. I mean, there is some interesting filling. Have you thought that there's a verse that says, being filled with the fruit of righteousness? So that's just one of that's an example. I'm trying to wet your whistle in this matter. And that's where we're at. So what we're going to be dealing with in this is the Greek verb plerao primarily. I could do more with pimple me, but I'm not. Plerao is the verb we're going to work on. It means to fill. We're going to talk about the differences between the two, pimple me and plerao, as we move along. And so the idea is to use fill as an illustration. We've talked about Ephesians 5:18. We have two passives, and it's one of the greatest illustrations of how the passive works. I mean, when you realize it, that when somebody is drunk, it's because of their genetics. Well, that's what they're trying to tell you. No, it's because of ethyl alcohol. And we have a lot of people that have this idea that drunkenness comes from the gene pool. And I've seen believers actually have excuses for becoming what they call alcoholics, because Papa was an alcoholic, therefore they must be alcoholics. And I'm sure if you were to go to AA often enough, everybody's blamed somebody in their gene pool. You know, that's it. And in that matter. And so this, but you can see, alcohol is that which makes you drunk. You don't make yourself drunk. You drink the stuff, but it makes you drunk. That's passive. If alcohol didn't function like alcohol and it was Welch's grape juice, you wouldn't be drunk. You could drink it, but it's not going to make you drunk. So you see, that tells us a lot about the passives. Then he goes on and says, be filled by the Holy Spirit. And that is so much fun because these are imperatives. We're going to come back to this. Seems like it's kind of a little backbone theme of what I'm doing today in this matter of the passage. And so that is an illustration I want to start with, just so we are on a course. And I trust it's a good course as we move in this matter. Now, when we talk about the Greek words for fill, we have in the King James Version, five different roots that are there for fill. And I'm down in the bottom of the beginning of the page, so we're clipping along in this matter. Now, with these five roots that are in the Greek, there are derivatives of these. These are the basic roots. When I say derivatives, I'm saying they're verbs and nouns. Some are compounded by putting on a preposition. They have different endings sometimes. But the word fill is plerao. That verb occurs 90 times. Now, we don't have time to go through all 90 of them. We're only going to go through 85 of them. And that's not true. In that matter. With this, there are 90 times. There is a textual problem, by the way. The critical text has an issue where the majority text has three that are... I mean, this is 90, I'm taking majority text. There are three passages that have textual problem, they leave it out. Pimplemi is the other term. It occurs 24 times, and you say, what do you have Plato up here? Plato is the way that many of the old lexicons used to put this term in. Any modern lexicon will put it under pimplemi, and that I think is right. Now, why did they do that in the older lexicons? Because, you see, you have the pi of the lamed and the eta in that form, and you have the pi, the lamed, and the eta in this form, in the different word for fill, and this doesn't even, pimplemi doesn't even look like it. And the reason they did that, I believe, is that they wanted to make them from the same root. So they wanted to make them mean the same thing, yet they're different. And I mean, it's really clear. And pimplemi is a whole paper all by itself. And we'll look at it. Mestao only occurs once. It happens to be with plerao. Gemno occurs 11 times. And cortazo occurs 15 or 16 times. Those are just there for your information so that you know that they exist in that manner. Now I've got to figure out how I'm going to set my stuff up here. Okay. We'll do it this way. Okay. Now, as an illustration... Okay, here we are. Pimplemi. When I talk about derivatives, we're talking about forms that pivot off of it. Plathos, does that look like pimplemi? Not really. And that's the word that's translated multitude, dominantly. Then you have pamplethi, and that's an adverb that occurs once. It's translated all at once. Multiply is plethuno, which is found 12 times, translated multiply. And so you have problems with derivatives of this word. And I just want, I mean, you have this information. It's the kind of work that needs to be done when we relate to adequate studies of these things. Pimplemi also is found in M, and the M is for an N prefix, the preposition N, N. And so you have it translated fill three of the four times in the text. And you have another M in another verb form in Colossians 1:14 is translated fill. And I like this last one because even though it occurs one, plemura is the word flood. It's a noun. In fact, it's kind of interesting. In the context, it's the idea of flood. And I think, I remember back when I was in my first pastorate, we had wasn't a forum, we called it, what did we call it? Literal Word Society is what we called it. And it was a group of guys that graduated from San Francisco plus some others, and we would meet and we would do a paper or two, and I can use the name because there are at least several people here that know the name. Back then, Dave Ekman was a pastor in Daly City and was a good friend, and he did a paper on pimplemi and plerao in that. And he made a distinction I haven't forgotten, and he made the distinction between fill and flood. One is absolute mental control. The other one is making up deficiencies. And so I just want to mention that we're just going to refer to this. Now we have plerao. And now with plerao, and where am I? I am on page somewhere. Page 2, bottom, we're moving on with that. And you can see these derivatives there in your notes. You don't need to really go look through these, but I like the idea when we look at number two up here, the word pleroma. Pleroma is a very important word in Colossians. And that's the word for fullness. And so you have it in here. In him was the fullness of the Godhead dwell. And then it's interesting that we participate in the fullness, having been filled with the fullness in Christ. And in Christ, you can't add any more. We haven't sung, He Looked Beyond. Well, we did. Did we sing, He Looked Beyond My Fault? Anyway, the idea when we sing, complete in him, in Christ I have no need. You can't get any fuller than what we have in our position in Christ. More derivatives. They're in your pages. Again, you see prepositions on the front. And this is the last part of... No, it's not. There's one more. And they're all in your notes. We have a lot of this information available. So this is a way that I think you need to do a word study. It haunts me. I've been haunted from the days that I was in seminary that I missed one passage in God's Word that was going to make a contribution, or at least a major contribution in God's Word that I missed in study. It's just, like I say, it haunts me. I just am petrified of the fact that I miss it. And I used to go through four or five concordances and I still do. To make sure I've got them all. And I'm looking for textual problems, all kinds of things. My job is I am a representative of Jesus Christ. Amen. And God the Father, and if I don't do the diligence that is necessary in that work, I don't feel I'm doing a very good job of representing Him. And so that's why you get some of these things in notes, because that just is part of the way I do things. And I encourage you to do it. You know, I encourage you all to do that. If you say, no, I don't know Greek, I don't know Hebrew, you talk to me, I'll tell you where you can get a good English concordance that pulls off the Greek and give you a chance to dig a little deeper. And those who have interlinears, you have a little bit of help. All it does is confuse some of you, because you put an epsilon in front of a verb and it's an aorist, and it doesn't look like anything when we talk roots. If you have ep, plerao, it's not going to be that ending, but anyway, you have that issue. And so we have these terms. Plerao is so key in present tense salvation. And when you compare the two, we're going to take a quick minute to just look at these two verbs, because pimplemi was an Old Testament kind of filling that was evident in the Gospels, and it is in Acts. But it's not in the last part of Acts. And so we will be talking a little bit about that as we go in this matter. Now, the comparisons, there are different degrees of filling. And so when we talk different degrees, now this is set up so you can start to get your mind to separate these things. Pimplemi is filling in which there was a greater degree of control. When I was young, and when I was in Bible college, we were taught that filling is control. And so, have you been controlled by the Holy Spirit? That was in the nomenclature that was used in class, at least when I went to Bible college. It was wrong. And nobody helped me with it. They made no distinction between plerao and pimplemi. And so, the idea of control, there's a greater degree of control in pimplemi. Old Testament filling was most often temporary, could come and go. Old Testament filling involved a greater degree in enabling than either filling in the New Testament, back in the Old Testament. You know, there's one guy that had this kind of filling that didn't have it leave him that I know of. You know what his name was? John the Baptizer. And it says he was filled from his mother's womb. That's pimplemi. I mean, was he filled as a believer if he was filled from his mother's womb? He wasn't even an Old Testament saint until he could make some kind of a decision. But that's what it says. Now, was he filled in utero or at birth? I don't know. I mean, the preposition is just kind of interesting when we relate to that. New Testament filling makes up human deficiencies by the direct involvement of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And this is plerao. makes up deficiencies. And that's where we're headed as we relate to these things. There's confusion in this matter. And this is more, and this is my basic kind of idea of definition. It involves mental control, full mental control. So, I mean, it would be just great if we had this kind of thing when it came to going to school. Right? When you're studying to prepare a message, when you're studying just for your own edification, wouldn't it be great if you just had full control by the Holy Spirit? Doesn't happen on it because God has a horse and a cart. We can mix them up, but it was different back then. And it was kind of like that filling was the cart and the horse all together when we understand it. Plerao involves spirituality and the manifestation of the things of the Spirit. And that is by making up our deficiencies as believers. I remember the day when I was in seminary, we were in a carpool, and we had a fellow that was involved with the charismatic movement. And it was interesting, San Francisco wouldn't graduate a charismatic, but they would let him attend. Western Baptist Bible College, on the other hand, would not only let him attend, but they give him a degree, which was always interesting to me. And so in a carpool, obviously a bunch of guys together headed off to study in the Word, we'd have some very interesting discussions. And I remember one day we walked in and he was busy talking about filling and speaking in tongues and all of this thing. And I was ahead of him substantially. I was in a THM program at the time. And so what happened, I said, "Did you realize there are two Greek words for filling in the New Testament?" Because he was quoting the passages that had the pimplemi. And he had never heard of that before. I mean, he's charismatic. He wouldn't, you know, he didn't get that direct divine revelation yet in that matter. And that was sarcasm.
Yes, brother.
On it. And so he didn't know what to say. He had no way to manage that information because when we made the distinction of one as complete control and one not, and he couldn't fathom the idea of John the Baptizer because he'd not been there, and that's what happens with a lot of these groups. And so what happens when you do that, we discussed, and he said he was going to go and study it. And I never did get a response because we didn't talk about it again in that matter. But I've never forgotten how it was just like something that he had never, ever, ever had an idea existed. He just uniformitarian his theology. You know, the irony of that whole thing is he left the charismatic movement and became totally reformed. And that's almost unbelievable to me. And that quite an influence from that reform side. Now, that was really interesting what happened on that. I've often wondered how that worked out in the end, why he ended up where he did. So both roots, I mean, there's this idea of both roots mean control. And I've mentioned that already. There's no two words for fill in the New Testament when I was in Bible college, although they were already there. Nobody would say that. There's no distinction on it. And so it was kind of interesting as time went along, and the more I studied the languages and the more I was involved in theology and the study of it, the more I realized, hey, we've got to make some distinctions. If God gives us a different word, he's doing it on purpose. He didn't make a mistake. He wasn't looking for variety. He uses exactly what he wants. And so this idea that both are the same root is something that has happened. That both roots mean control. That's confusing. The idea they both come from the same root. The idea, the importance of a root in fulfilling men with the Holy Spirit. There's that distinction is not maintained. And this need to isolate pimply me in the scriptures. I know why I'm trying to catch up with myself. I'm not following my other notes. Okay, there we go. Simply me, let's talk control. Psalm 24 times in the New Testament. Four New Testament books. Matthew twice, Luke 12, John 1, and Acts 9 times. 21 of the times are in the writings of Luke. And that's in your notes on Let's get the number. Number 13, that's on the next page. It's down on page 5 is where this is, on letter A, and I have that data under letter A on page 5, three quarters of the way down the page. The forms of pimplemia, they occur in, they're all eras, except for one, it's a future. You have 21 of 22 of those in passive. That becomes really obvious when we even study pleura. Oh, it's got to be passive most of the time. Mood, indicative, and so it's considered factual. Once in the subjunctive is possible. You have four participles. You have one infinitive. And do you care? It's there. On it. We're looking at these details that are important, and especially when you relate to these passives. And so the ones that care are the guys that have this little PT related to their gift on that. And that does make a great deal of difference. Now, in your notes on the top of page 6, I do have the lexical definitions. I do not believe these lexical definitions are accurate as they could be until we get down to Thomas Sheldon Green, which is the last one on that list. I have Freiberg, I have Thayer, I have Lou Oneida, Eugene Nida, and what's the other guy's first name anyway. But notice what Thomas T.S. Green's definition is. To fill, in the passive, to fill mentally, to be under the influence. See, mentally. Now, the italics there are his. If he hadn't put them there, I'd have probably put it in bold in that. But that, those are his. So it's a mental... What's this? There he is on this matter. And so that's his definition. I mean, the emphasis there. Be under the full influence. This is control. Let's use that other word. This is flood. I mean, it's just this great mental control. And that's the focus. My definition is, simply me, was the full mental influence of the Holy Spirit by which he controlled the mind to accomplish his purposes. This filling has nothing to do with spirituality, but rather control of the mind. You do not emanate the things of the Spirit like you do in the new in pleurao filling. You're doing it, I mean, your mind is controlled for a purpose. So, you know, when you had that control, you had those who spoke outer Slobovian, if there were outer Slobovians around, because that was their mind was controlled, and they were able to speak in a language that was not normal to them in their existence. Now, that definition, this is material. I didn't put my numbers on this one. That's kind of interesting. Okay. Now, on the bottom of 6,
The question related to that, I'm sorry.
I don't know.
Does that also imply that he is controlling their tongue, their mouth, too?
In those cases.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So yeah. It's not just mental only, but he's also controlling each and every word as it comes out of their mouth.
How it came out.
Okay.
In other words, when they gave testimony to the work of Christ at that time, they would give it in the language of that person with absolutely perfect syntax, with absolutely perfect selection of words. It's not being borne along quite by the Spirit like it's true for the writers of Scripture, but it's very similar. And so when they do that, I mean, the syntax, the words, everything will be selected in that language. I mean, you can imagine. I mean, there are some people that have a real skill in linguistics. And so what they can do, they can get up, but it doesn't always mean the syntax is the same. I mean, it's really funny, between Hebrew and Greek, just the order of sentence could be messed up. I mean, the emphasis in Hebrew is on the verb in the first place. I mean, it's a verb, adverb and modifiers, and subject modifiers. That's the order. In the Greek, it's not that way. In the Greek, it's usually the subject followed by the verb. And I mean, that's normal. Otherwise, if they mess them up, they're doing it for emphasis. and we can see it. And so this this idea is going to affect it to that degree. And I think if we understand that, that helps us divorce some of these passages that they want to use. I think a big bugaboo for most of them is this thing of what? John the Baptizer. Now, I gave you charts on the bottom of 6 and on page 7 that involve pinpoint me filling. It's just an overview, and I think in terms of charts, it's easy for me to see. And with this, if I, you know, if I want to come back and work on this, I've got a chart and makes it easy to follow. And that's what you get. I share with the way I think. 4 significant elements of this filling. Now, let's see if this is going to be the right one. Whoa. Now, good. 4 elements. Number 1, this filling was provided for the forerunner of the coming of Christ in the person of John the Baptizer. You notice I don't call him a Baptist. There's a good reason. That's not what the ending means in Greek. I mean, baptizer, he's the one who is baptizing. He was not the first Baptist. You've got trail of blooders that would love to make him the first Baptist on that. And when a trail of blood, you know, that kind of thing with it. And so it's interesting. He wasn't saved when the filling began. I mean, any kind of theology's got a problem with this. I mean, if he was saved when he was born, in the event of his birth, I suppose somebody could say that the fluid might have baptized him. I'm not quite sure. But it's just really interesting, these issues that are involved with that. It's just, it's crazy to say you could sprinkle him and made him saved. Obviously, well, that's enough of that on that matter. But he was filled from his mother's womb. Now, you see why I had a little problem? I went ahead and put the ek up here. The ek preposition is a Greek preposition that can be out of, out from. Now, where is this? Does it mean on the way out or while he was on? While he was in before he came out? So we don't know. It's not important. It's not going to change your theology, your salvation. But it's kind of an interesting interpretive issue because it's fun to play with it in that matter. And so that's number 1 on top of page 8. Number 2 is, is under number 2, I've got the next 2 involve Elizabeth. And it says, he shall be great, and this is anticipating John's birth. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And so you have this concept of fill right here. And it's a nice passive. He will be filled. Someone else will fill him in this matter. Then you have, that's Elizabeth. This is Zachariah. Whoops. Whoa. Where did he come from? He came from his mother's womb. Okay. This is kind of interesting when you look for graphics on this. I figured this was somebody's old Sunday school paper cover or something or some lesson. But anyway, they've got him in the right kind of clothes and I don't know. They don't have his diet. I'd like to see some honeycomb on that. Elizabeth. And it says that Elizabeth was filled with pimply me filling with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out in a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. What happens? Mary shows up and this is the response. The Holy Spirit just grabbed her by the mind and she had to say, she said what needed to be said. And it may be so that it could be recorded in Scripture so we know how supernatural that was in that matter. There's Zacharias. He was filled. And again, you have him proclaiming something, a statement in response to that mental control on that. How did I get that turned around? Okay. Now we go to Acts. And this is transition. These are verses, and these were referred to, and one of these was the one that Kevin asked about. I think that was 4:8. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you want to translate it, flooded. I mean, you just got to remember that's what this is. This is pimple, me not play ra'o. Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in heteros languages. Other is heteros, other kinds of languages, not normal to their normal life language. The Spirit was giving them utterance. I like that. As the Spirit was giving them utterance, He was playing with those synapses and making them fire right. And what was going on? The control of the mind in that matter. In 4:31, when they had prayed, the place they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4, and began to speak the word of God with boldness. I have an interest. I'm really convinced that word of God was probably not the word of God they knew so well. This is just in Acts 4. It's not. The church is really well established here when we relate to this. And so you can see that's this kind of filling. Now let's see, where do I want to get next? 9:17 of Acts, and where am I on the page? I'm on the top of page 9. 9 with this. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul," okay, that tells us about the story. He laid hands on Saul before he became Paul. And he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be pimple made with the Holy Spirit." Be flooded with the Holy Spirit. And so here Paul had it. Now it's interesting, from here on it's just Paul. The only revelation we have of anybody being pimple made was the Apostle Paul. Now, oops. How did, oh, okay. Now, I didn't put that up. I thought I had it up on that transparency. Okay. Acts 9:17. Oops. 13:9. There we go. And I'm on 9. Second arrow down. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, flooded with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze upon him, and he unloaded on him. And it was what the Holy Spirit wanted to unload on him. You know, what was his name? Elymas. He was attacked, it went after him. And it's interesting. You want to know something about Acts 13:9? That is the last time that pimplame is used related to the Holy Spirit. It's found two more times in the book of Acts, and it's used as stuff, not this kind of filling. I mean, this room was filled, that kind of filling on that. So this is the last time. We have no record of this kind of filling again after Acts chapter 13. So you need to remember that a lot of these temporary gift kinds of things, especially like, you know, they want a Pentecostal experience. And they want to go back, and they're using this particular verb, and they're making it equivalent with pleroo. And it's something that's different. It's full mental control. And I've given you an outline of some structure on pimplemi. Happens to come out of my pneumatology notes. On the bottom of 9, on top of 10. Let's go quickly to play ra'o. And play ra'o. 90 times we've already mentioned it in the majority text. 87 times in the critical text. And you can arm wrestle those if you... I mean, if you research this well enough, guys, you can find out where the three verses are. I didn't choose to put them up here. The AV really helps us a lot. You know, out of these, let's say, 90 passages, what do we have? Yeah, fulfill. Fulfill? That sounds like fill full. You know, I mean, fulfill. But you know, that tells you something about the way this verb is used. when it says scripture that the prophecy may be fulfilled. That's why it's translated fulfilled. We'll be there in a moment. Fill 19 times, be full 7 times, complete 2 times. That gets confusing because we have 2 or 3 other verbs that we would use in addition that are translated complete. Pleroma is when we sing, he looked beyond my fault, complete in him, and him I have no need. We're pulling off of that. And then all of this other stuff that is in your notes are other translations of it. Isn't it nice to have a verb that's not uniformly translated when it probably could be more often on it? What I'm saying is these other translations often confuse. It's our responsibility to see where they mistranslate and to represent it accurately. And you say, well, my people don't care. Well, God cares because he wrote it that way. You know, God cares because he wrote it that way. And you never know what if you do it right the way he does it, then and you present it right, what happens? The Holy Spirit is going to keep it in line. And he might just touch somebody's heart to think in these terms, and it might be a part of a situation they need some help with. Now, don't talk about eisegeting, Dan. Now, this is the way we work at Bartimaeus, in case you kind of wonder. Dan is always... Anyway. So, play Ra'o. Now, let's go after more. 64 occurrences are in the passive voice. 64 times. That is of the 86 or 87 or 90. 24 are in the active voice. That makes sense, too. If somebody brings a picture and they want to fill it, you actively fill it. You see, so it makes some sense. And most of those accounts are in the Gospels. 2 are in the middle voice, and that means more than 2/3 of them are in the passive. That tells us a lot about this word. I mean, it makes sense on it. And, you know, if you have a container, you need somebody actively fill it, as it is passive in that matter. And so I've given you that stats of more detail on... Whoops. There's a bulletin cover. And they keep sneaking into my presentations. And this is the one we use for fill. You know, how much does it take to fill? I mean, do you make up what's missing or... You bring it to, the top. And here you have the idea that deficiency or lack exists, and the filling makes up the deficiency, and it moves it to the top. And I couldn't resist my friendly little paint can, which is really filled to the top and running over in that matter. And so that's the idea of that transparency. Fulfilling prophecy. I had so many pages when I got through with this, I decided I wasn't going to give you some more. I had another 13 pages on fulfilling prophecy. You can look them up. How often this is used in that thing of fulfilling prophecy. And, this is acting like it was for me earlier. I'm on page 12 with that one. It's not following where I tell it to go. You have the data. 29 of these occurrences relate to the fulfilling of prophecy. And I gave you a lot of information here so you didn't have to have a chart. How many times? So 29, that's a third are fulfilling prophecy. And so it's from Israel. I mean, you see that. When it was fulfilled to the top. To the top. You know, in fact, it's funny, the Old Testament saints who read some of those passages had no idea that it needed to be fulfilled to the top. Sometimes they didn't even understand it. And when it's fulfilled in each occurrence where pleroo is found, it's usually found in a perfect tense verb. Stands is fulfilled. And I made that, the notes here. And an example of that is Matthew 4:14, paragraph middle, page 12. The prophecy of 9:1 and 2 of Isaiah was fulfilled in Matthew 14. Now leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay, I read it in the Old Testament all the time, so I'm going to read it with those names. Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled that was spoken by the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, the Galilee of the Gentiles, the peoples which sat in darkness saw the great light, and to them which sat in the region, the shadow of death, which is light, which death light is sprung up. And so that's Matthew. And then Isaiah gives you the prophecy. And there's a quote in that matter. And it was fulfilled when Christ, what does it say? When Christ left Nazareth and lived in Capernaum. Now, Nazareth is not a big, big distance. Nazareth is up in the hill country. Capernaum is on the shores of Galilee. Capernaum is on the north and a little bit over the west side. The ruins in Capernaum are there. It's interesting, there is a synagogue, very obvious, that was there, probably a little after the time of Christ in that matter. But that fulfilled prophecy. I'm not going to go further in that because there are some of those examples that are of value to you. Okay. I don't know what's coming up next. Boy, that is weird. Okay. I don't know where that one came. And this thing has got them all mixed up on me. That's supposed to be real late. Okay. That must mean it's almost time for lunch. On that. No, I'm listening. I mean, there's things that are skipping on me. I've got them. They're all in order. I have them all numbered up here. And, okay. This thing, okay, we'll go down to the filling, finish this filling material. Okay. On page 13, you have what I call the great passive of Plerao. Now you say, what is all this finer print and Arial font? Well, I went ahead and put in the full note of which translations. And I have American Standard, Darby, Douay. Douay's the Catholic, old Catholic version. English Standard Version 2001, interesting version, more modern is 2001. New American Standard, New International. And what did I put it in here for? Because you have bees in here, and there are lots of bees. It's interesting, some of these are really bad translations, but they usually get the passive here. It's really interesting when you see that. I mean, you have the problem like with Reams Douay and American American Standard Version says be filled with. I think it's an instrumental by on that.
I forgive you, brother.
Anyway, it's a question of these widths and by. It's how do you translate an end preposition or an end preposition? And that's our issue, and I don't have the... Well, there it is. See that little preposition there? That's in or by. And with this, I believe it should be by the Spirit. With... that's kind of a half on, half off. And so you see that in a lot of these. And so he says, stop being drunk with wine. And we talked about it earlier. I've got definitions with this matter of being drunk with wine. In our notes, I've talked about it. The definitions are generally pretty good. My definition is that the verb has the idea, I'm in the middle of 14, the verb has the idea of being intoxicated, drunk, under the strong influence, under the table, drunk. It's drunk. It's not having just drunk some grape juice. It's drunk. Now, why did I say that? It says, be not drunk with oinos, which is the word for wine. And there are those who say, oinos is only grape juice. And You know, I grew up in grape country, and Welch's had a plant about 5 blocks from our house. And when they were harvesting grapes in the fall, and then after that, you had this sweet smell of Welch's grape juice that permeated our side of town on it. And you know, I don't know that anybody ever got drunk from Welch's grape juice. And there were those who said oinos doesn't mean alcoholic wine in the Bible. And this is the normal word for wine. And if you can get under the table drunk with it, or even under the influence of it, it's interesting. He said, don't be drunk with it. Now, if you have stomach trouble, you find a good antacid. No, that's not what he told Timothy, was it? He told Timothy to take a little wine for his stomach's sake. A good way to kill parasites in your belly, in that matter. And so, in that matter. But he says, keep on being filled. Keep on being filled. Keep on. There's a present tense. You know, there you have it. That's an imperative. Keep on being filled. Keep on being in a position where you're at the disposal of the Holy Spirit. It's a passive imperative. Get out of the way so the Holy Spirit can fill you. That's the focus. Put yourself in a position so you're at the disposal of another in the passive. And that's so important. And if we learn that lesson, if you have come here today and you didn't understand that, I hope you learn that lesson. You need to get out of the way and let Him fill you. Put yourself at His disposal. That is the focus here. And so he says, keep on being filled. I'm in the middle of 15. I did my translation, which says, stop continually being drunk with wine, wherein is unsavingness, but be filled by the Spirit, and be continually filled by the Spirit. I went ahead and dropped an outline in. You said, yeah, you have that many pages, you're not going to cover this. Well, no, I give you some free outlines. And that's, unfortunately, that's tuition free. If you'd like to pay tuition, it'd be fine. In that matter. So you do have some notes out of the syllabi in that matter with this. Now, I want to tag this, and I'm watching that so that we can break, and I'll try to trim it so we won't have trouble a little later. But you look at that, this imperative. Now, let's look at be filled, and I'm going to do this to summarize it out. Okay? What I have here is a chart that goes through the participles that tie to the main verb. Your main verb is be filled. And there are certain things that are going to attach to that. So by being filled, and I have this all down in your notes, a lot more than this, you'll end up speaking to yourselves with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The thing is speaking. Laleo is to verbalize. It means to just to speak. And so you have this thing, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Kind of interesting. I don't see in that verse this thing of worship songs and praise songs, not by contemporary definition. I do see it by biblical definition, and that doesn't fit with what's going on in the church today. You notice we don't have anything here in the platform except stuff. We don't have any certain kinds of instruments. And we don't have cheerleaders here. I cannot get it into my system to be able to say that we have a praise team or anything like that. For a person who's been musical, we don't do a lot of music here. The reason we're here is because of the book. And that's what happens. I know some people would like more music, but bring Ray Charles if you want soul. I really do love to hear him sing the Star Spangled Banner. Okay, speaking. You have these songs. It's kind of interesting, having been involved with music, singing and psalming. Singing and psalming. And I'm not going to go through the details. I dropped a couple in there. You have those all tied to being filled. The ings, the ings, the ings. These are participles. They all tie to being filled. Giving thanks. you realize there is one kind of communication with God that is a mark of spirit filling, and that's thanksgiving. Giving thanks. That very idea. Now let me get to that page because I have it down. It says, giving thanks at all times. I'm on the bottom of page 16. At all times on behalf of all things in the name of the Father and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have two elements of thanksgiving there. And there you have at all times, that's always. And then it says, for all things, who bear all things, on behalf of all things. So you are involved with thanksgiving. If you think you're spiritual and you're not thankful, rethink it and get there. I mean, get out of the way so he can make you spiritual. Because if you're not thankful, there are a lot of Christians that have Thanksgiving is almost the only time it's in their vocabulary is in November. Just like the turkey, huh? Yeah. Okay. Being subject, that is being submissive to one another. Look at that. That is so interesting. It's so key. People like to skip this. I know some guys that like to skip it. Or no, it's not the guys that like to skip it. Some women like to skip it. Because what does it say? Submitting those guys. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. To one another. Alelos. To one another of the same kind. Christian to Christian. And that goes outside of marriage. When you get into marriage, you've got to do that in anyway. And when it says, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. What does that mean? It means you submit because there's a benefit. But husbands, submit yourselves to one another. I think your wife is to one another. If you did it right. If you married a believer. You see? And so that alley lost. There's that division that is made by in the minds of some macho guys that say, well, she's got to submit to me. Bring my slipper, cigar, and my... No, that's not appropriate here. Bring my slippers and newspaper. In that matter. And then this whole concept of submitting one, if you're spiritual, there's going to be a reciprocal kind of submission because there are benefits. There are really benefits. I think of that real often, how that really worked and works in a good marriage. And it does. Okay? Then, what's he do? He starts really meddling. So he picks on believing wives and believing husbands. And he draws some guidelines. And these macho guys, what they tend to do, they want the wife to submit to it. They forget that they're to nourish. They forget that they're to warm by, soften by warming.
And love.
Well, and you have love is emphasized there. So, well, we're not talking about that right now. Believing children. Obey your parents. You know, those. That's part of being filled. Believing fathers. How do you relate to your kids? It tells you in God's Word. A believing father related as he's filled. There are a lot of fathers that are derelict in their duty because they have a problem over here with 518. They're not filled believers. They haven't put themselves at the disposal of the Holy Spirit to fill them. And then you have believing bond slaves and you have believing masters. And so this all ties to a passive, a key passive that's so important. And I will flip this over just to say I had it. And let me look at where I am at a break. Okay, that's right where I want to be. Okay, on page 18, I have boxes. One box is Lewis Berry Chafer's statement on filling. I thought you'd enjoy it. I enjoyed that little statement in the other box by C.I. Schofield. I enjoyed it because it was simple. He did it in his little book, Plain Papers from the Holy Spirit. Thought you would enjoy it. They're there for free, and it's time to break. Let's break. Jan will lead the pack.
Break dance. Break dance. copy of this for the first reading.
No, we come back. We have 10 minutes to... No, according to my schedule, we start again at... we break at 11 on 1 o'clock, 11:50.
Well, it's going to be more like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.